141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As the fallout from the weekend continues, Wilfried Nancy says he's got nothing to prove as pressure mounts ahead of Celtic's trip to Dundee United tomorrow. Rangers close in on Celtic with a 1-0 win against Hibs at Ibrox last night. And the search is on for a new Kilmarnock manager after Stuart Kettlewell's sacking. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dalziel.
Yeah, certainly it was all happening at the weekend, Gordon. Obviously, congratulations again to St Mirren for winning the first piece of silverware. You look at Rangers leapfrogging Motherwell last night to get into third with a win over Hibs at Ibrox. And as you quite rightly say, is Kilmarnock looking for a new manager? You don't get a long time in this game, especially a management game. And I'll tell you what, the Celtic manager, he might be the shortest because he goes up to Dundee United tomorrow and already it's a must-win game.
Like you said, it's absolutely massive for St Mirren at the weekend, and massive congratulations to them. Hopefully they party right up until Saturday at 3 o'clock when we play them. We might get a win, Gordon, then you can leave me alone for once. And then, like you said, you know, Rangers beating Hibs yesterday at Ibrox. It was a real gritty performance from them. I don't think their fans were too happy with elements of the performance, but it's another clean sheet for them. And like you said, it takes them up the league table now, so they're looking, you know, above them now. Can they catch those teams rather than over their shoulder?
0141 951 1025. That's the number you need, so come on down. Let's hear from you. For you Celtic fans, not only are you getting over the weekend and trying to figure out where that went wrong and what it means for Wilfried Nancy, but it's straight on to tomorrow night, which means he's done press today, he's spoken again, he's been grilled about his position and about where the team are at the moment. And then, of course, the whole picture can go one way or the other tomorrow. It can get even worse. Imagine three defeats became four. What would that look like? Or maybe you're confident that it is a win and it's at least a slow move in the right direction. Give us a call, please. 0141 951 1025. I'd love to hear from more of you St Mirren fans, because inevitably we did it. We did our best. We gave the moment last night. We kicked off the show. We had the captain Marcus Fraser on. We spoke to a couple of St Mirren fans, but some of you would have still been out. So now that you're back in, hopefully, maybe you are still out, I don't know, but hopefully you're back in now and the chance to share your thoughts. Just how good was it? How pleased are you? I'm assuming it's a moment that will live with you forever. Get in touch and let us know. We've got a big game to look back on from last night as well. That game almost became an afterthought last night because of everything that had gone on at the weekend. But Rangers fans, how in the title race are you? Because 6 weeks ago, a couple of months ago, most of you were phoning this show and saying that you weren't. You've now pulled that gap even closer. Celtic are where they are at the moment in terms of all the noise surrounding them. You keep certainly staying unbeaten under Danny Rule in the league, and it was another victory last night. So what did you make of the game in isolation, and how in this title race are you? Have you changed your mind over the last couple of weeks? Give us a call on 0141 951 1025. On the Scotland front, Steve Clarke spoken about the possibility of Harvey Barnes being a Scotland player by the time the World Cup comes around. And Kelly fans, again, we barely got round to it last night because of everything that was going on, but your manager has paid the price. You're searching for a new one. No Stuart Kettlewell. What is next? 0141 951 1025. Every caller that gets on air tonight, you'll be entered into the draw for two tickets to the Golf in Prestwick New Year race day on Friday the 2nd of January. Air races as well. It's a brilliant day, that. Seven races, all sorts of entertainment, street party and all the rest of it. All you need to do, come on here, make a point to the panel, and you're in the hat for the draw. I'm actually going to look to see if, because it's the new year, I'm not sure if Gordon Dalziel's ban on being allowed to attend any nightlife events in the greater Ayr area is over in 2026, but had any word on that?
No word yet.
Stretches back to the early 2000s.
It certainly does.
It was only a 25-year.
I was a 25-year
ban, yeah. Was it? You back? Right, okay, we'll see. 2 days he'll make it by 2nd of January.
You're laughing.
What a guy.
Let's hear from Wilfried Nancy. He's been the name on everyone's lips over the last couple of days for one way or another, and he spoke again today. Here's what he had to say when asked if he had a point to prove.
This is my job. This is a normal reaction. Don't forget that I come from Europe, so I know the way it works. No problem with that. They can they can say what they want, and I understand that. I don't have to prove anything for anybody, simple as that. I have to just be coherent with my team and to do my job as the best as I can. And after that, I think that things will gonna be more positive. So for the moment, it's been 10 days that I'm here. Like I said, I knew that before I came here that it could be difficult regarding the situation, regarding the fact that this is the first time for everyone to have a coach who comes in the middle of the season like this. So I knew that it could be a lot of adversity, but again, like I said, I'm really happy to be here, and I do my job as the best as I can, and after that, things will go in a more positive way. So what I say, I don't have to prove anything to anybody, is because the only thing that I have to prove is to be good with my players on the pitch, to help them to have good performance and to win games. This is the most important. And after that, if we are able to do that, naturally, the doubt that people have on me is going to be different. But this, I cannot do anything with that. And obviously, I will not tell you that I'm happy for that. I am a human being. So obviously, I would like that everything goes well. I would like that everybody likes me. I would like that. But this, I cannot control it. I understand your question. I'm not saying that I don't care about what people say. I'm saying that I need to be good with myself first and to be coherent with my players. And after that, we'll see.
Scott is first through tonight. How are you, Scott?
I'm all right, Gordon. How are you, sir?
Not bad. Thanks for asking. What are you thinking tonight?
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Marvin. How are you doing,
hey,
guys?
Scott. Oh, good, all right. Mate.
Listen, I don't know if you can remember, I phoned you on the eve of the Roma game. Can you remember that? And I was saying about the formation, and I was saying to you that, it's, you know, he's playing in Europe, it's a totally different animal. I don't know if you can remember that. But this guy a clown, right? He's sitting there, he doesn't have to prove himself to anybody. Of course he does. He has to prove himself to the fans first and foremost, right? And comes to the point where he's no listening. He's stuck in a hole and he doesn't know how. He's sitting in a dark corner somewhere, right? We're going to go to Dundee United tomorrow night and we're going to get beat. I know we're going to get beat, and I think a lot of Celtic fans are thinking that as well. You always get Celtic fans travelling around the world to support their team. That's not the issue. The whole point is this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Full stop. He's been told, he's seen it 3 games in a row. It's no, okay. We had a conversation with the Hearts game. It wasn't really the 3 at the back. It was obviously, you know, errors. Roma game was different. St Mirren game was different. Tactics were gone. You know, he's sitting there and he brings James Forrest on to play in the middle of the park. He's got Scales sitting on the wing. You know, come on. You know, come on.
See, let's analyse what he said today, because that's almost like added fuel to the fire, I think, for a lot of Celtic fans. I'm glad we played the full clip there, because the first half, and when you see the headline, "I don't have to prove myself to anyone," people are on that. They're straight on it. How can he say that? Yes you do. But when you listen to the back half of it, because he's asked again later, we've edited it together so that we didn't have to listen to 40 minutes worth or whatever it was. He's trying to clarify what he means is his focus is more on winning games, and then therefore the kind of proving a point takes care of itself, because nobody has the negativity towards him once you start winning games. So I don't think he's sitting there saying, "I don't care what people think, I'm not proving myself to anyone." He did try and explain that later on in what we just heard.
Yeah, he did. Listen, he's probably coming out. He's come out fighting a little bit, answering the questions there. He's still confident in his own ability. I know Scott and probably a right few others that I've been speaking to since Sunday haven't got the confidence in him. There's one thing for sure, Gordon, he'll need to prove that he can win football games. And so far, I know it was 3 difficult games, there's no doubt in that. But I thought, even the cup final, it was the way they went down the cup final for me, I found that a bit worrying. When St Mirren scored their second goal, you just looked at a Celtic team, there's no way back for them. There's no character, no fight. I think the players have got to take a bit of responsibility. But he's got a massive game ahead of him tomorrow night. And as I said earlier, he's got to prove one thing. He's good enough to be the Celtic manager, and he's good enough to get results.
I think if you go around as a manager and you're constantly saying, "I do have to prove myself to people," you'll never end up doing any work, because regardless if you're winning games, you know, people say, this player should be playing or should be doing it that way or that way. Like I said, he has to stay true to himself and he has to improve his players on the pitch. That's the most important thing. And if he does that and then Celtic starts to get the results that obviously him as a manager wants, then, you know, people then start saying, maybe this guy does know what he's doing. But I agree with Gordon there. The most important thing is they need to win games of football. tomorrow now becomes a huge game, not because it's their next league game, but because they've lost three games leading into this. So the fans are on him. They're on some of the players as well, and rightfully so, because, you know, Celtic shouldn't be losing back-to-back games domestically, regardless of who they're playing. And now the manager has a point to prove, although he is saying it's not to the fans or to anyone else, but the players have to go out there and win a game. And maybe they need a little bit of convincing as well about the formation.
These are new times, strange times, Scott. There would have been a time that you simply could not even have a conversation about a manager losing his job after three games. It appears we are having that conversation. What are your own thoughts on where he is now? And you said you're certain Celtic will lose tomorrow.
Well, you know what, right? As I was trying to go on last night, and I don't agree with Hugh Keevans very often, right? Maybe once every 6 months, 7 months, a month. And what he came up with last night was, you know, it would be an embarrassment to get rid of him after three games. That's fine, but would it be more of an embarrassment? Would they keep on losing? You know, and be more tough, get rid of him and bring in the three boys that were over there, the three amigos, you know who I'm talking about. So at the end of the day, you know, and Daza, I've got no respect for St. Mirren whatsoever. They played really well. They deserved it. You know, a bit with all due respect, a Celtic team should be going out in a cup final and beating like a team like St. Mirren. I'm sorry, I'm not being disrespectful to St. Mirren, but I think they should be. They've got better players, except, well, they should have better players. But it come, so, Gordon, no, three games is a bit much, and I know you're quite... gets your hair and your neck back up a wee bit, you know, saying three games. But at the end of the day, I would rather have the embarrassment just doing, getting rid of him, than losing and losing. It's not the point of losing. It's, as I said, it was the point of how we're getting beat, right? It's no, it's as I said, the second goal went in, nothing, right? You know, he shouted Callum McGregor out to the side of the pitch. He said, his tactics to Cal McGregor, he went out with three or four players in the middle of the park, and they all just looked at him like he was daft. Right? They've not got the players to play that way. What, you know, I'm not a football manager, and there's 50-odd thousand Celtic fans either. I mean, I don't play FIFA, by the way, so at any day, I'm not kidding myself, I want to be a manager. But you must see that's no working. Must see that's no working. Change it. If it doesn't work, change it.
I think, see, when you know, Scott's saying talk of changing the manager gets my back up. It's not even about Wilfred Nancy or Celtic. I'm sort of struggling with the concept. I don't know what it says about us, maybe Scottish football. I don't know what it would say about Celtic as a club. I don't know how sustainable it is that it's acceptable to bin a manager after three games. That's what it is. How do I word this without being disrespectful to Celtic fans? I don't care what Celtic do specifically or what Wilfred Nancy, that makes no difference. I just always thought that there had to be a few more. I don't know what the cutoff is. I didn't have a number in my mind. It just felt like we arrived very quickly at a discourse where three was allowed. The good news is, for me, and it won't be three, it might be four, because he'll get the game tomorrow night.
Look, I totally take on board what Scott's saying. See, if you're sitting there as a Celtic board member and you've watched the last three games and you're looking like everybody else, a bit bewildered about the formation and having James Forrest playing middle of the park and some of the tactics. I was watching him very closely on Sunday, and I was seeing him, and he was shouting and bawling to his players to try and get instructions on. And at one point, the players didn't even look interested to hear what he was saying, right? So for me, if you're a board member and you're sitting there thinking, we've probably made a mistake here, and it is very difficult to tell after three games, and plus the fact, Gordon, he's not had a transfer window.
Or hardly any training sessions.
He's hardly had any, exactly, as well. So there's a lot of boxes there he's still to tick going along that way, but if I was a board member and I had this feeling about him that he wasn't the guy that was going to take us forward, I would pull the trigger now.
So more than just the fact that they've lost three games then? Yeah, you're talking about...
I'm talking about everything.
And the players buying into him, what are you hearing? Because that is all important. You hear stuff, don't you? You know, how's it working? How are players buying into it? What's training like? Mm-hmm. Are the messages getting through? Is that actually, Marvin, the part that would drive this rather than just the losing of games? Because we all acknowledge they're actually three tricky games, and I know what, you know, Scott's saying Celtic should beat St Mirren in theory, but
I think that can make a ball go in another direction though, Gordon, in terms of if players are complaining about things at this moment in time. I don't know, speculation, then you could be saying, well, we're not going to pander to the players and get rid of a manager, because what happens if the next manager comes in and the players do exactly the same thing again? Are you going to continue to do that? For me, Celtic this season and the back end of last season haven't looked like them, their old selves, for whatever reason that might be. They've looked really lethargic, and Martin O'Neill came in and got an upturn in terms of results, but I spoke about it before, the second half against Hibs, Dundee should have scored St Mirren. They got one shot on target, I think it was. Callum McGregor scores right at the end. So it's not been a free-flowing Celtic that we've been used to. You know, over the last 6 months, they haven't really been performing that way. So obviously a new manager with new ideas, they want to see them go out there and perform a lot better. And don't get me wrong, can't lose games of football. But regardless of some of the positions those players would have found themselves in on the weekend against St Mirren, their execution of just basic passes was poor for a Celtic team. So it didn't matter if they're playing in a back three or a back four or whatever else, they were getting into the final third at time. Players were running the ball off the pitch, they were overplaying things. So it doesn't matter about what formation it is, they just weren't performing to the level they should be playing for Celtic.
I thought tactically the St Mirren manager outmaneuvered them.
Certainly when he made that tweak, didn't he, in the end of the first half.
Yeah, and I think teams are starting to look at this. They understand the way he's going to play, and it's causing all sorts of problems. And he didn't react to that.
I know what you're
That's
saying.
Where I'm saying about being a manager.
I was similar to you, Marvin, at the weekend, because we watched it. We were there, and just the players, some of the stuff they were doing. But, you know, should Liam Scales have been overlapping in the left wing?
The thing is, Liam Scales plays left wing back for Ireland.
No, but I'm talking about structurally. I don't mean personally. I mean structurally, should that be happening? Is that a wise way to go? That then was kind of leaving Austin Trusty one-on-one a bit at times.
Yeah.
Is that not a concern?
It definitely is, because it's not something that we're not used to. So for me, it was a concern watching it, seeing, you know, St Mirren have a striker up there and just with Trusty and long balls going forward, and all of a sudden it was starting a counter-attack. But on the flip side of that is, I remember Sheffield United doing it down the road under Chris Wilder, and everyone was raving about it because they were getting results. So ultimately, it's about winning games of football. So they can get an overload with Scales going forward, but the players don't look comfortable going there. Ralston on the other side didn't look comfortable doing it either.
Eamons and Blantyre, what's your take on it all, Eamon?
Hi, how you doing, panel?
Good, thank you.
It was just to follow up on the last caller. I feel as if these players are—I've seen it with Rangers. They're only playing for the manager, and I don't know. Obviously, it's the tactics that are wrong as well. I think there's a lot of egos in place here with the manager and the board, and the players all clashing. I'll start with the manager. Like, if he continues to play his formation and it's not working, you're going to need to at one point say, right, he's probably watched games running up to his appointment, and surely you're after the first game, right, that's not working. We'll try the second game, that's not working, then the third game is a cup final. So surely he's got to kind of swallow his pride and say, right, we need to win this game, because after all, he is what he proved to people, that he's the right appointment. So surely there's a bit of you need to swallow your pride, if you know what I mean, and change your tactics for that.
It's a sign of a good manager when you see something and it's not working. That's why I'm talking about the tactics on Sunday. He never changed anything apart from personnel. Never changed the way he wanted to play. I thought he'd have threw a curveball on Sunday. He could have maybe got the right at the beginning, got a grip of the game. He could have went to a four, because you can guarantee St Mirren would have been working all week and then playing that back three. And you've seen it at half time when they tweaked the formation, St Mirren. And also, St Mirren, when they went 2-1 up, didn't sit back and think, well, hold on here and try and just see out time and win the cup. St Mirren were a better team. They went after Celtic because they knew that they had Celtic where they wanted them, and probably could have scored more. So I think that he's got to... It'll be interesting to see if he still says with that three tomorrow night, because I think if he loses against Dundee United, I'm going to say that he could be out the door very quickly.
He tried to explain the tactical thing though, Marvin. Essentially, it feels like too much has been made of it. He said the tactics, he says, I'm not here to please myself. Maybe not.
Like Gordon does.
He said his tactics are not rocket science. I'm here to find ways to help players play together. It's normal people criticise me. You know, it's not about the system. It's about, you know, desire to compete every time, coherence, that sort of thing. And I felt like some of the explanation, you could think, you know, maybe we are over analysing it. But then again, you go back to Liam Scales is overlapping Kieran Tierney at the weekend. So
Yeah, listen, there's definitely something down to tactics. And, you know, watching Celtic under Nancy, they've been very, very open. They're susceptible to the counter-attack. We saw it in the Hearts game. We definitely saw it the weekend against St Mirren. And I agree with Gordon there. St Mirren could have scored more goals. And it's not very often you see Celtic that open. Whether that's the players not being in positions where they can dominate the game. I spoke about it when people were saying he was coming in about playing the 3-4-3. I think it's very difficult for your centre midfielders. I think Callum McGregor's at that point in his career as well, where him being a six is a lot easier for him than being in a, you know, a flat four in the midfield. So there is things that they definitely need to tweak, Gordon.
Quickly, Eamon, where are you on him? If you were giving me a definitive, what does it, should he have gone now? Does it change tomorrow? What's your thoughts?
I think it all does boil down to tomorrow. But again, what I was saying about egos and swallowing pride, I don't think the board will get rid of him. That's just the way I feel with the way the board's acting with the club. I think they'll wait and see what happens. But then, if it's no changed and Dundee United do smell blood tomorrow night, that's another loss. That's again a chance for somebody to, like, gain points when we've dropped points again, all because this guy's sticking to his guns and trying a back three when we've never really played a back three in my recollection for the past while. So we've not really got the players to do it. I think as a manager, I would be running with what's been happening previously before he came in, and basically just forcing a win, basically against, like, fair play to St Mirren, don't get me wrong, they smelt blood and they've done the bit, but if I was Nancy tomorrow, I would be changing it up just to get that win, to get the fans on board, to get it going again, and okay, maybe try again.
Thank you very much.
In January.
Thank you to Eamon on the line. We'll take more of your calls when we return.
Oh, come all ye faithful, and hope your team is joyful and triumphant. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dalziel are here. Feel free to keep the calls coming. Still want to hear from you, St Mirren fans, the ones that were out for 2 days and have just made it back in. And don't forget, every caller who comes on air tonight goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to air races as well. Davey is on the line next. How are you, Davey?
Not bad, boys, not bad. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure. What are you thinking?
What I'm thinking is Bill Dunton, St Mirren, they fully deserved it, without a doubt. I go to the games at Parkhead, and all I hear now is sack the board. So it's going to get more to hear. It's going to be sack the board, sack the board. You don't want to hear this. Now, Celtic, the board have made a bad mistake with this guy. This guy is not the man to be there. Is it going to take us losing more points and dropping down the table before they turn around and say, you need to go? I know it's only 3 games. I've listened to it a couple of times. I know it's not fair, but he doesn't know what he's doing. He's getting the players back up. He's getting the supporters back up. So when they start tomorrow, I think Dundee United will beat him. And if they do beat him, then they should pull the trigger on him. If they don't, and they keep doing this all the time, just let them go and take game by game, it's going to be yielding the process work.
Some situation to win though, Davey, isn't it? Because you just said, sorry if I misquote you, I know it's unfair, but he has to go. Like, is it unfair or is it not?
No, it's not unfair. It's not unfair. Because there'll be a different atmosphere at Parkhead when he's there. They won't, Gordon, they'll not be shouting his name anytime soon. They'll not be doing that anytime soon.
Davey mentioned about, you know, sack the board, and this is the backdrop to all this, and Hugh's quite consistent on it. Like, you know, the board doesn't get sacked. You know, who sacks the board? Who takes their place? Dermot Desmond, you need to buy shares, all that sort of stuff. Is that what makes this more complex, though? Because they have no goodwill already,
no.
Right? And absolutely no. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. My theory: nobody would congratulate the board for pulling the trigger on this appointment and say, "Oh, well done! At least they recognised their mistake." It would then be, "Well, you're the guys that hired them," and then you changed your mind within 3 games. So this would not reflect well on anyone.
No,
even if it was the right thing to do, so called right thing. There's no winner here.
No, it would look really bad on Celtic as a club, but I think that Davey's right. If I seen this manager losing tomorrow night, I'm sorry, I hate to say it, because I've stood in the shoes, being a manager, nothing worse. He needs time. Everybody tells, yeah, he needs a transfer window or whatever. I would pull the trigger on him. I would. And I hate saying it because you've got January coming up. Now, he's going to bring in players to suit his formation, right? And are you going to trust him? If he's not winning games, are you going to trust him with recruitment to play a system that a new manager might walk in after him, a month or two after him, and go, well, these players are no good to me because that ain't the system I'm going to play. So I think they've got a big problem, Celtic. Now, I said earlier in the show, if I was sitting as a Celtic board member and thought, may have made a mistake, because remember, every appointment's a risk, Gordon, right? It doesn't mean to say you've done your homework, everything on him, he's got a big success. Everything's a risk when you bring a new manager in. But I don't think you just let it go, let it go, let it go, and then back him. Because January's got to be massive in the window. Because the board come in for so much criticism in the summer, they've got to get it right. Would you trust them with the recruitment?
Somebody will need to tell me, because I know you pull out all the stats about the shortest terms that managers have had. And we spoke about Ange Postecoglou. Got 8 games, was it? Eric Ten Hag get 2. Do you know what I would be keen to know? Has anybody ever been appointed 3 weeks before a window opened but not got to that window? Because that must have been such a key part of the discussion. It must have been just around the corner. I'm not saying you can't change your mind, as Davey mentioned about the board, but the whole point of his appointment at this stage must have been about what he will and won't be allowed to do come January.
Yeah, 100%, you know, because he'd be speaking about the players that are currently in the football club that fit his system and players they need to bring in order to enhance, you know, what Celtic can do on the pitch. No one foresaw them losing, you know, 3 games out of 3, which they've done. The Roma one, as we always said, was always going to be a difficult game. Against Hearts, again, playing against team top of the league. But I think the St Mirren Cup final, I think everyone would have expected, you know, Celtic to lift that silverware. And people keep saying about his timing of coming in. As a manager, it makes perfect sense for you because you want to go in there, you want to, you know, beat Hearts, close a gap on them, and then you want to win the cup final. He's not managed to do that. I agree. I get what Davey's saying in terms of, you know, if they lose again tomorrow, there's going to be huge questions asked again. I just can't, even if it's 4 defeats in a row, I can't see them sacking him, Gordon. I really, really can't.
Seriously.
And also, you know, if you're a manager out there, the pool of managers that Celtic had to pick from this time, I think that'd be a lot smaller. If you see a club sack somebody after 2 weeks, why would you be saying to your agent, do you know what, that's the job for me?
It's just the way football works. You talk about...
This is what's interesting. 3 games isn't really the way football works. That's the bit I'm trying to get. I keep hearing this.
Well,
and that's what was the weekend? And, you know, things are, you know, the expectation here. Managers have never been sacked in Glasgow after 3 games. So why are we pretending like that's happened before?
No.
This would be completely unprecedented.
But where I disagree is, if you sack the guy, say for instance he lost tomorrow night and gets sacked on Thursday, I don't think that will put potential managers
it
coming in.
It has to.
It won't, because you...
Well, look at Northern Forest and Watford. Managers are put off going there. For what reason?
Sean Dyche come walking in there, an experienced manager that could probably have held on and he would have got another job, but he decided he'd go right in after Postecoglou.
Sometimes the next guy's guaranteed more
games.
Time, isn't he?
Yes.
In a way.
So I know what you're saying, Marv. It would be a sort of red flag thinking, hold on a minute. But I keep going back to it.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas.
Yeah,
that's enough for your point, mate.
Rudely interrupted there on as I go. But I just think that there's no point just going on with it and on with it and on with it, hope it's going to turn. If you don't see it turning and he loses tomorrow night, I'm sorry, I hate saying it, but I would be considering pulling the trigger on him.
Why do you hate saying it? People keep... You don't hate saying
it.
You said that about 10 times.
Because I think it's a bit unfair, because I've made the point about he's not had time on the training ground, he's not had a transfer window. I think you've got to try and give every opportunity, but you're at Celtic, you're at a club. I know the team aren't the best Celtic team squad I've seen in a long, long time, but I just looked at him on Sunday there and some of the decisions were incredible for me.
Not much alternative opinion out there. If Wilfred Nancy or his pals or his family are listening, I think you'll know the way most of the Celtic fans feel. Let's bring in Brian and get his thoughts. Hi, Brian.
With this Wilfred Nancy, I know I was listening to Gordon there and what he was saying, but come January, there's no amount of money that's going to be able to get put into this squad to get it back to where it was. And it wasn't broken before.
last year, if you look at last year, we were doing absolutely brilliant. Europe, we're doing good. We've done league, we've done well. But it was just, I think it's just the kind of the players leaving, they've not been replaced. And then Martin came in, steadied the ship, all right, we kind of crawled over the lines in certain games. But I was kind of a wee bit kind of bemused about bringing them in the new. If I would have said, keep them at the end of the season and then bring somebody in. That way they get the summer, get transfer, and they've got all the time they want. I think this has just been a bad call on whoever it was that appointed him. I don't know who it was on the board that's appointed this guy. But I think we've got it done. Tannadice tomorrow night, I can see us getting beat.
Line's breaking up a little bit, but Brian's, like I said actually before Brian came on, I think a lot of Celtic fans just feel the same way by the sounds of it. And once you get yourself into this, where I will agree with you is that clearly things have become a lot more short term in football. So once you become one game away from the sack in people's mind, because look, Celtic drew at Tannadice last season.
Mm-hmm.
That could perfectly happen. And you know, they drew 0-0 at Tannadice last season. I'm sure I remember, did they wrap up a league with a draw at Tannadice under Ange Postecoglou? So anyway, they've drawn up there in recent seasons. That can happen. Of course it can happen.
Yeah.
But if it happens tomorrow, yeah, you know, because of what's going on in the last three.
But the last time that, if they drew up there, and you're right, it could happen. But we didn't have callers on the night before, and every caller Celtic fans come on here, the first thing they're saying is, we're going to get beat tomorrow night.
That's what I'm saying. The game in isolation versus I was going to say the bigger picture. It's not that big a picture because it's only been a week.
And,
but
and it's not like you're looking at Dundee United team that's in form. You know, they got a draw against Motherwell at the weekend, and they've got all sorts of problems with goalkeepers. And you're thinking, really, it's a good time to go up to Tannadice and play Dundee United. But Celtic fans are already, and it's because of the manager.
Yeah.
It's because of the manager. If Martin O'Neill was still in charge, we would not be having these phone calls tonight saying, well, we're going to lose to Dundee United tomorrow.
Interesting, because the reality will probably hit home a bit, Marvin, for some Celtic fans when they see that starting lineup tomorrow, and you realise, Brian did say it, he said there's no millions in January that could fix this squad, because that still remains an issue. Iheanacho's out again, right? That's all, well, I think we knew that was coming, but confirmed by the manager today. So Deiser Maeda is going to have to lead the line, or Johnny Kenny's going to have to lead the line. If Deiser Maeda does, that means Tonetke and Yang, or Tonetke and Forrest, or Tonetke and McCowan, or whatever. And if it is Johnny Kenny, you're back to a guy that scored a couple of goals and looks good in the penalty box, but again is at that level. If Celtic fans get their wish and they go back to the back four that everyone wants, Anthony Ralston will very possibly play, a guy that got battered by all the Celtic fans at the weekend, or it's Colby Donovan. It's still, there are issues there once you even move beyond the manager.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, regardless of the formation, that the players are going to remain the same. But like you said, whether it's Ralston that goes at a fullback or Donovan, who I think, you know, played a big part in the third goal in terms of, you know, not seeing that the man was running from deep and tracking him. Like you said, they've got their problems going through the middle, and this is what Celtic fans are speaking about all the time. You know, when Kyogo left, they've never really replaced him. Ida came in, you know, didn't do well enough, got sold to Swansea, and now you've got Iheanacho, who's unfortunately injured, something that's happened to him all throughout his career, brought in on a free transfer. You've got Kenny, who for me is not ready to lead the line for Celtic, and you've got Maeda, who's out of form. But I think I'll play Maeda tomorrow. But like I said there, Gordon, regardless of the formation, these players need to turn up tomorrow, because forget about the manager, they owe the supporters massively, because they should not be losing two games back-to-back, top of the league Hearts, loses the cup finals with St Mirren. There needs to be a reaction tomorrow.
Brian's in the hat for the tickets to Air Races as well. 0141 951 1025. St Mirren fans, where are you? Still got headaches? Does it last 2 days? Have you come back down from cloud nine? I'd love to hear from you, because of course there's a lot going on, a lot being said about Celtic's failings and what went wrong there. But what about you? Let's give you the credit that you deserve. Give us a call. And I did say the game was somewhat of an afterthought last night. Rangers against Hibs, that was a massive game in the Premiership. I don't detect many calls about it yet, but plenty of time. 0141 951 1025. Let me tell you about this first.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialists, proud to support the local community.
just because you all did so well and were so generous in the Cash for Kids sports auction at the weekend, it doesn't mean the fight is over for us. We keep going, we keep trying to raise as much as possible, because unfortunately there's never enough. We've got to keep going and got to try and make as much of an impact as we can. To hear a bit about where the money can go, let's hear from Samantha from the charity Giza Break. They provide practical and emotional support to children, young people, families, and she's been telling us just what difference Mission Christmas donations make.
In the past, we've had groups to support cost of living, you know, making sure families have got a warm place, providing warm food, you know, a place that's reducing isolation and where families can come, but it's not got that stigma. No judgment, people are just free to come in and have that warm environment, the children entertained and access to some of the team for further support if they require it.
If you can help, it would make such a difference. Head to Clyde1.com/mission. If you're planning to do some fundraising of your own, let us know what it is. We'll be happy to give you a shout out. Every penny, remember, goes straight back to the children that need it the most. So head to Clyde1.com/mission. And it's a big thanks to J&D Pierce, supporters of Cash for Kids for the last 6 years.
Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We'd be lucky to get one wise man.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon Diel are now joined on the line by Trevor, who's from Paisley. And you know what that means, a St Mirren fan. Sum the last couple of days up for us, Trevor.
Oh, quite amazing, unbelievable. I think, actually, in a strange way, I'm getting used to these occasions now. I was there in 87, I was there with the Scottish Cup, I was there in 2013, and then obviously I was there on Sunday, but the strange thing is, my daughter was born in 2013, and then luckily my wife let me name her after St Mirren, so her wee name's Mirren.
Oh, brilliant.
And then I took her to the final on Sunday with me, you know, so the whole connection was just really bizarre and amazing. But that Hampden, I don't know what it is with us, it's like a home ground. I mean, we beat, in 2013, we beat Celtic 3-2, then we beat Hearts 3-2 in the final, then we beat Motherwell 4-1 in the semi-final, then we beat Celtic 3-1 again. We just love playing there. I don't know what it is, but I think that big white pitch just suits us to a T, so it does, you know.
It'd be so awkward when Marvin names his kid Arsenal.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have the same ring to it. Arsenal, get back here.
It's definitely shortened it in school, that'd be the problem.
That would be an issue. Trevor, I mean, you did your bit so well, and that's the thing, so many criticisms of Celtic, but St Mirren were so primed and ready to take advantage of whatever Celtic are going through at the moment, weren't they?
Well, exactly, and the thing is, everybody says that Celtic don't know what they're doing, but St Mirren certainly knew what Celtic were going to do, and that was the bit that I think was obvious for everybody, apart from obviously Celtic. I mean, it was just so obvious what we were going to do. We're going to let them have the ball, or then just going to steal the ball off them, and then we're going to break up the park, or we were just going to cut up the channels. I mean, everybody with their granny could see what we were going to do, but lo and behold, thankfully for us, we needed on the day Celtic to know about their best and to have a bit of luck. And I don't even think it ended up we needed luck, because we ended up that we actually, as we all know, we could have scored more. So it just wasn't the St Mirren way, you know. You were waiting for the late goal to be scored and then for us to be biting our nails and clinging on. But it wasn't even that on this occasion, which was really bizarre, you know. And you can actually enjoy the last 15, 20 minutes of the game without having to worry about the fact that Celtic were going to score. So you just couldn't see them scoring at all.
It's an easy question for the young St Mirren fans, Trevor, but you've shown your age. You've been at all three of those triumphs. So for you, where do you place Stephen Robinson? How big is he for you, the history of your club?
Well, I think in a way this, even though everyone's fresher in the mind and the feelings are very fresh, but I remember obviously 1987 being a young kid and it was amazing. And then obviously 2013 we winning the League Cup for the first time was amazing. But I think to beat Celtic in the final, which is it makes it even harder. It really does. I think it's got to be the pinnacle. And what Stephen Robinson's done, we've all said the same thing, top six finishes. I went to see St Mirren in Europe. I never did when I was younger, obviously, but I have now as well. So, I mean, all the boxes have just been ticked. I mean, what's left? Champions League? I mean, where does it end, you know? It's an unbelievable journey, it really is.
Yeah, and obviously Trevor will not be alone in what he's saying there. I think the full of Paisley were out on Sunday night and enjoying the celebrations. I totally agree. I thought that you know, when you pitch up against maybe Celtic at Hampden, and you know that Celtic Cup final usually come away with the trophy. Okay, the Scottish Cup was poor against Aberdeen, but usually they find a way to win. It was comfortable for St Mirren. I thought St Mirren at 2-1. I thought Celtic were lucky to get away with a 3-1. I really did. And it showed you how good St Mirren tactically were in the second half. They caused Celtic all sorts of problems.
Even, like, I know you're speaking about tactics there. I just thought how hard they worked for each other. You know, chasing lost causes, as Trevor's saying there. Balls were going in the channels and they're chasing after it. You know, anything that dropped in the middle of the park, the midfield three were all over it. Defenders did their job and defended first and foremost. Shamal George, when he was called upon, pulled off really, really big saves. And listen, it was a fantastic day and it was brilliant to actually be there to witness it with the St Mirren fans, because, you know, they were obviously jumping up and down, the players going across to them. I think Robinson, you know, deserves so much respect for doing so, because he's done a magnificent job. You know, maybe overlooked for some bigger jobs at times, but, you know, going on and winning the League Cup now, you know, his stock's really, really high. And listen, it's fantastic for the club because they're moving in the right direction as well.
Brilliant. Well done, Trevor. Glad you enjoyed your weekend, and send our regards to Mirren as well. That was Trevor from Paisley there. Gerard's on the other line. Let's squeeze this in before the news. Gerard, how are you?
I am fine.
What are you thinking?
First of all, I'd like to congratulate Trevor. I'm a Celtic fan, but I'd like to congratulate Trevor, the St Mirren fan.
Brilliant
for St Mirren. The point I was phoning is about the call for the Nonsi to get sacked. I can't understand this at all. The guys have only been there for about 10 days. Hardly any training sessions, three big games, and I just can't understand it. I really can't. Quite do you see how you would actually think about
You'll know the counter-argument, Gerard. Everybody else that's been on, and I'm glad you called and said it, because, you know, it's nice to hear the other side of it if it's out there. But everybody else is saying, you can just see it already, it's not going to get any better, looks like they don't know what they're doing, too stubborn, changed the formation when he shouldn't have, etc. So none of that makes sense to you?
He's only been there like a week and a half. That's so to me, I can't understand how you would think, well, it's all wrong then all of a sudden.
He actually explained that today, Gordon. People obviously knew this. The diaries tells its own story. He's hardly had any full training sessions, and he said it has been hard. He's had to rely on video a lot rather than obviously on the pitch. And he said, you know, some people are visual learners, some people like to listen, some people need to physically do it, and that's been difficult. On the other hand, I can already then hear people saying, yeah, but that's why you don't change your formation then at the moment. So
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest stick he's getting beaten with, the fact of the formation. He's not got the personnel to play the way he wants to play. They're nothing up with playing attacking football and playing three at the back and getting your two wide guys high up the pitch and going and having a real goal, because you're Celtic fans want to see Celtic in the front foot. But right now, they don't have the personnel. They're big games that he come into, no doubt about that. I don't see where the players, I was watching them, as I say, on Sunday, didn't see the players. They were sort of just looking over, nodding their head, away they went. He had Maeda playing in like a position that he can't play. He brought Forrest on in the middle of the park. I know that he didn't have personnel to go at a four by that time because Ralston had come off injured. Look, he's got to start winning games. If he starts winning games, he'll get all the time in the world. There's no doubt about that. But I just don't see this getting any better for him.
Thank you, Gerard. Like we said, always welcoming to hear the other side of the debate as well. Gerard thinks it's too soon. Loads of you don't. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it's Beat the Pundit time. 01419511025. Don't forget, every correct answer, we add more money to Cash for Kids as well. But don't let that put you off. We'll pit your wits against Marvin Bartley or Gordon DL when we return.
Hugh Keevan's first Christmas was the first Christmas. Season's greetings from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are here. There's still plenty of time for you to get your calls in. The fallout from Hampden at the weekend is still quite severe, judging by these phone lines. Lots of it about Wilfried Nancy. A kind of update, if you like, today, because he's spoken again. He says he doesn't have anything to prove to anyone. Still doubling down, if you like, on the tactics and the formation and so on. And straight on to what lots of you seem to be calling a must-win game away at Tannadice tomorrow. What about last night, Rangers fans, Hibs fans? What did you make of that? How in the title race are you, Rangers fans? So many of you were queuing up months ago to tell us that you could forget about it already. I wonder if you've changed your mind looking at that league table. How in it are you, and what did you make specifically of last night? I'm constantly on the lookout for more of you St Mirren fans. Even the Celtic fans are coming on, most of them say congratulations to St Mirren. You could see what it meant to everybody at the weekend. Tell us more, tell us your stories. Let's see if we can strike the balance between it being a family-friendly show, but also try to find out what the wildest celebration was over the last few nights. Think we can manage that?
Oh, yeah.
Right, let's see what we can do. We'll play this first, though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. You're up to 70%. Gordon Dale, yep, after your tiebreaker win
flying
on Thursday, Marvin, against all the odds, incredible. I almost can't believe that it's true.
You still 100%.
Yeah, 100% ended last record. Season well though as well.
100% record.
In respect, gone to minus one soon.
Unbelievable. Don't forget, every question that the caller gets right, we put £10 to Cash for Kids, thanks to Cairnhill Structures. And then our friends at Hill End Motors responded and said they would do the same for the questions that the pundits get right. So we're guaranteeing money.
80 quid I got on Thursday.
I just said guaranteeing money, not if you get a zero, obviously. But
you didn't get 80 quid then, you got 40.
Yeah, but between us.
That was the worst tiebreaker of all time, that Thursday. That was a humiliation.
I can't believe I won that.
I feel bad giving you the victory for that. It was awful. Did you hear it?
No.
It was like, on that day, what was the cheapest flight still available to Boston for the World Cup? The answer was 400. He said $3,000 and was still closer.
No, I said 3,400.
He said 3,400. He was $3,000 out and he was still closer than the contestant.
That boy went $4,000.
So bad. Anyway, Gordon, another Gordon, is on in Airdrie. How are you?
Not too bad.
Good man.
How's it going, guys?
No, pleasure to have you. Is this your Beat the Pundit debut?
Yes, that's my first time.
Good. I like it. No added pressure of giving money to Cash for Kids, Gordon. You can handle that, can you?
Well, I hope the questions are easy enough for me to contribute well.
Good, right, we'll toss the coin anyway. I've not got high hopes for these two. I think Marvin's form is bound to tail off at some point. And Gordon...
Do you mean, yeah?
That is me.
Meant to be my cheerleader.
But I know, but you play guys that can't even get one. But Gordon, I'll guarantee you, if I play Gordon tonight, he'll probably get four or five. You play him, he'll probably get one.
He's now blaming the opponent, the standing of the opponent.
What chance have I got?
Thanks very much,
Dad. Exactly, a real vote of confidence.
Sorry, Gordon.
So far... In his career, he's blamed me, the way I read the questions, whatever that means.
Yep.
He's blamed the fact that some people have more than one contributing, and Gordon's alone.
You alone, Gordon?
Yeah, I'm sitting in a way by just around the corner from my house. I was just travelling home for work.
There you go.
All right, okay.
And he's now blaming the standard of the contestant. This is a problem.
I'm nice and relaxed, but I want to play Dada, so.
Does your family know you're playing Gordon? You just pulled over and you're going to tell them when you get in?
I've just pulled over. I'm keeping it low key in case I have a nightmare.
I hope they're listening. What if they're listening already? Where is he? He was due home.
He's telling them he's at work. I'm still at work, love.
I've got quite a big social circle, so I know one or two of them listening.
You're in trouble.
Especially because I'm a Rangers fan, and they'll all be listening intently tonight.
You're in trouble, right? Anyway, the blue side of the coin will be Marvin Bartley. The red side of the coin will be Gordon Dalziel, and it is. It's red.
Come on, Gordon Airdrie.
The colour of Rudolph's nose.
You, I said. You can toss that coin to what you want.
Oh, here we go.
I've just watched
you. What chance has he got?
I've seen him doing it. He's done one, boom, red.
How do you toss it away? How?
A wee, boom, red. I've guaranteed you before. You could toss that coin.
Stop.
The colour that you want.
Stop analysing my tossing technique in front of the nation.
I agree.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, all the best, Gordon.
I've seen you. Full transparency then, I don't mind it. Right. There is an accusation that's been doing the rounds that whatever side I start the toss, it ends on the opposite side. Right? So what you actually saw me do was take preventative measures. I didn't know what side I started on. Yeah, genuinely, I was doing that to get.
Do you
around
know who started
it.
That rumor? Roscoe. So exactly. You and Roscoe yeah on the same team. You, that's not right, a good team to be.
You
in
had blue, and you just flipped it over.
I didn't know what side I started.
You did.
Stay on camera for all to see.
I watched you
do the VAR review.
You seen it, the blue, and you flipped it like an omelette. And
Gordon, you're listening to this. He's nervous.
Pathetic, isn't he, Gordon?
Oh, it's
he's nervous, mate.
I've got him on the run already.
Right, give him something else to listen to. 30 seconds, Gordon and Airdrie. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know, and your time starts now. Brendan Rodgers has joined a club in which country?
Saudi Arabia.
Who wears number 11 for Rangers?
Oh, should know that, shouldn't I? I'll say it's
name any Scottish Championship team playing in the KDM Trophy tonight.
Airdrie.
How many permanent managers have Kilmarnock had in 2025?
Two.
What company makes Aberdeen's kits?
Umbro.
Which Holmes under the Hammer presenter has scored in a League Cup final?
I've never watched it.
I don't blame you. Right, let's bring him back. Gordon DL, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Brendan Rodgers has joined a club in which country?
Saudi Arabia.
Who wears number 11 for Rangers?
Sam, no idea.
Name any Scottish Championship team playing in the KDM Trophy tonight?
Partick.
How many permanent managers have Kilmarnock had in 2025?
Permanent, two.
What company makes Aberdeen's kits?
Diadora.
Which Holmes under the Hammer presenter has scored in a League Cup final?
Dean Dublin.
They were easy.
Diadora. Easy. When was the last time you saw a Diadora kit?
I don't know. I remember getting Diadora. What are you laughing at, mate? What did you say? Adidas?
That would have been right.
I bet I wish they had.
It's Adidas in it.
Oh dear. When was the last? Seriously, you're thinking like Bertie Vogt, Scotland era.
I was thinking Hummel. Is it Hummel?
Yeah.
I was thinking
that's not right either.
It's Adidas, isn't it?
Right, let's go through it anyway.
Are your answers humming?
Oh, wee comedian here. Wee comedian for Airdrie.
And find out. Brendan Rodgers. I've seen people point out that this feels a very on-brand, predictable move for Brendan Rodgers, doesn't it? He's gone to Saudi Arabia. Do you see who the guy that was shaking his hand, one of the club officials, was that clearly appointed him?
No.
James Bisgrove.
Was it?
No way.
And he's taking Big John with him, isn't he?
Has he?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, there John Kennedy's a way back.
Brilliant. Saudi Arabia, well done. Okay, fellow Asgard, 11 for Rangers.
Damn.
None of you got it right.
Hang on, Gordon supports Rangers, no?
Yeah.
Oh, you better hope your mates are not listening.
Who did Gordon say?
Chermiti.
Dessa.
Chermiti.
I never said Dessa. What's this here, guys? I mean, 13 new players or something, come on.
No, what I've noticed, to be fair, some squad numbers just don't register for some people. I've noticed that. Like, they just don't.
These two.
Well, clearly.
Don't get me wrong. I wish it'd been Alan Acoist or Mark Haley.
I'll let you away with that. Right, okay. 11 is Asgard. Name any Championship team playing in the KDM Trophy tonight. You could choose between Lodz, Partick Thistle, St Johnstone, Dunfermline, Queen's Park, but not Airdrie, Gordon.
You've
gone.
Oh, my.
I wonder why you guessed that, seeing you're sitting in Airdrie.
You've gone for your hometown team. Yeah. And it's backfired 2-1 to Gordon DL. You both knew that it's two permanent Killy managers in 2025, Derek McInnes, Stuart Kettlewell. In case we don't get round to it in the phones, thoughts on that? Surprised?
No, it was always coming. And then obviously going up to Aberdeen, one up, lose a game. He was under severe pressure, game to game he was going. So they pulled the trigger. It'll be interesting to see who takes that.
You're just panicking that they get a manager in that starts winning and pulls them away from living.
A massive panic.
Should have seen him, honestly, right? We were at Hampden doing the show live, League Cup final, trying to concentrate. He just kept checking the Killy score. And please, Aberdeen, please score.
It did me well, Aberdeen.
You don't fancy catching Aberdeen then, though? No? You just Killy in your sights.
Too far gone.
Right, 3-2 at the Dazzle.
Hold on, I just wanted. This is a good way of.
It's all about you, mate.
It's about me. And Gordon. The two Gordons are playing, and I'm so far winning. He's sitting in a lay-by. His wife and family's going, what is he doing over there?
The company that makes Aberdeen's kits is, of course, Adidas. Not Diadora and not Umbro, I'm afraid, Gordon.
Mate.
Airdrie, have you ever played before?
I think Hummel will actually do make Kilmarnock and Hearts at the moment.
Do they? But I knew it was Adidas. I wanted Gordon to stay in the game.
If he doesn't get this next one,
what was your first kit manufacturer? Why am I asking? Take that back. You're not going to remember.
The Cox Sportif.
No, Puma. No? I don't know.
Nah, I doubt it was Puma. You think your first Rangers kit was made by Puma?
No.
So why'd you say that?
I don't know. I just said Puma.
What chance have you got?
I've absolutely no chance. Do you know the reason I say it's Diadora? Because when I went to Australia, they took me to the factory and told me I could take anything out of the factory. You should have seen that plane coming home.
Hold on.
That's where wife number two was.
Couple of steps backwards. Hold on. What's that got to do with guessing Aberdeen's?
Because I was the only one I could think of. I knew it was Adidas, but I went
but
for
no Diadora. Relevance at all to you going to Australia, really.
No.
When you think about it. I must admit, Gordon, if you just don't know it, you don't know it. I thought this was going to be so easy because the question is which Holmes under the hammer presenter, as if they've got other presenters that might have scored in the League Cup final. It is Dion Dublin.
You don't get that.
When he said that, I took a... I had a wee kind of flashback, but I'm employed during the day, so I don't watch it.
Do you know what? I actually don't think I've ever seen Dion Dublin present Holmes Under the Hammer, but I just know that. I just know that he does it.
Who did Gordon say?
He's past it. He's just going to dig it out.
So he's hopeless.
A 4-2 win for Gordon DL.
How's Mansers doing now, Gordon? Hummel.
You're doing no bad, sir.
Thank you. I buy me a wee £20 you got.
Exactly, Gordon, £20 to cash for kids. Every cloud.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I've stuck another £40 in, mate.
It's doubling the money. Umbro made your Rangers kit 1964 all the way through to 1990. So
was it?
Must
Umbro?
Have been. Don't remember that at all.
No.
Training kit, anything?
I don't remember any training kit.
To me, Matt, I've lost a fast Aberdeen training ground about 2 weeks ago.
There is, right on the main road, isn't it? There's a big Adidas sign. Unbelievable.
Westfield dies.
So. Gordon, try and redeem yourself. Make this point a good one. What are you making of your team at the moment? A win against Hibs last night.
Oh, I think they've definitely turned the corner in terms of consistency. But, you know, Danny Rowe's definitely a good manager. I've got to get the team sort of kind of playing for each other and trying hard for the team. Obviously, a lot of young players, so a bit of inconsistency there. But if they had a striker and maybe another defender, I think they could be. It could be a surprise this season for the league, but we didn't see what Johnny brings.
So you still think there's a league title challenge there?
Well, there's only, if Rangers win their game in hand, they're only about 6 points behind, aren't they? And obviously, if they can pull off a shock result at Tynecastle on Saturday, then they're going to play for it. Because January, if they get a couple of players in, you know, if Big Walford keeps up the feet at the back, you know, we're laughing.
It's going to be some game that the weekend, isn't it? Looking forward to it already. But still plenty of football to play before then. Thank you to Gordon. Unsuccessful on Beat the Pundit, but I liked Gordon. I liked his company.
Yeah, he was a good lad. Yeah. Good lad. £60 between us. My 40 and his wee 20.
That's the sort of contestant you were saying that I normally
get.
Hold on a minute. I just scared him.
He's giving it the big one now. But see, when Hugh Keevans pulled a grand out of his pocket, you didn't have much to say for yourself on Saturday.
I was
looking at you to see if you were going to match him.
Oh,
I kept looking over saying Hugh's produced £1,000 to cash for
50s.
Kids. I said, what? I kept looking. What's Gordon going to do? He just kept looking the other way.
Let the man have his day. You don't want to take the shine off him.
Oh, I've shugged. Oh, I'm exactly. No competing with him.
Exactly.
50s. I've never seen. And by the way, he was spraying.
He was fanning. All for a good cause. All for a good cause. Let's bring in Graham in Bells Hill. How are you, Graham?
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Good, thank you. What are you saying to it tonight?
You'd asked us to talk about the Rangers Hibs game last night, and I was at the game absolutely freezing. First of all, I wanted to start by saying I thought Trevor's call, the St Mirren fan, was probably call of the season so far. It was amazing to hear how happy he was and what it meant for him and his family, so congratulations.
Having his daughter named after St Mirren was a cool touch,
class.
That, wasn't it?
Yeah,
brilliant.
That is class.
Anyway, Graham, apart from the freezing cold, what about last night? What did you make of it, and where does this leave Rangers?
Well, what I wanted to kind of comment on was I've been impressed with how quietly kind of Danny Rule's making changes and making improvements to the team. By no means are we there. Like, it's probably one of the worst Rangers teams I've seen in a long time. But, you know, you can see some elements of what he's doing. You know, things like Conor Barron seems to be absolutely running the show in the middle of the park at the moment. He's obviously getting a tune out of him. You know, he brought in a set piece coach. We scored again from a set piece last night. You know, just things like that that we're seeing differences in. And I love his rhetoric about, you know, when we do get wins, okay, it's only a 1-0, etc. But it's small steps, nothing more. He's calming everything down. He's not going over the top like, you know, Martin did when he came in. So I just wanted to see what the panel thought of how he's doing so far. And I'm kind of excited to see what he might bring in January with his own players, his own contacts in Germany, etc. And what that might mean for Rangers.
Yeah, he's gone about business very well, isn't he? Yeah, he's picking up results. The one thing I did like about him when he came in and he done his first interview, he got Rangers right away in the fact that he said, look, it's not about tactics, it's not about style, it's not about all that, it's about winning games. And that's where the Celtic manager should have listened. It is about winning games. He's on a good run. Listen, I don't think it was a classic last night, but it was all about the 3 points. They've got a massive game at the weekend, you quite rightly say, Gordon. They'll go to Tynecastle full of confidence. I think a big percentage of Rangers fans will now think that they are in a chance for a title. And rightly so, if they keep up the form. And it will be interesting to see what he brings in January, because he certainly will get back. But I think he'll need to try and get one or two out.
Certainly can't argue with the league results, Marvin. They just really speak for themselves. I mean, obviously, there are those disappointing draws, but I still think the points totals more than the Rangers fans would have expected when he took over. I think that would be a fair way of putting it.
Yeah, and the biggest change he's made for me is that he's comfortable with Rangers not having the ball. And I know yesterday watching the game, you know, some Rangers fans were booing and wanted Rangers to go and press high, but he clearly realises that, you know, they can't do that. They don't have the players at this moment in time to be able to go and do that. So, you know, they got the goal ahead and then they set up and they're really strong behind it. You know, like he said, he wants to be built on clean sheets and they'll go from there. I agree with Gordon. Once he does bring his own players in January, if he's able to do so, I think there'll be more free-flowing going forward. But ultimately, he wants to win games of football. He doesn't care how it comes. He changes formation, you know, whatever gives him the best chance to win those sorts of games. James Tavernier's been on the bench. He's been the captain. He's not afraid to drop some of the bigger names. All he cares about is Rangers winning games of football, however that might come. So, yeah, listen, Danny Rose made a fantastic start. And I know a lot of people didn't want him in at the start, but I think he's starting to, you know, convert those people now.
That said, Graham, the draws against Falkirk and Dundee United weren't that long ago. Are you confident that the team sort of over that, can this, because we always do this where you praise teams when they're not at their best and they grind out wins and it's all about fight and it's all about heart, but then sometimes that becomes unsustainable and it maybe catches up with you. You confident this team can keep winning now?
I'm never confident this team can keep winning, you know, especially strangely at Ibrox. You know, Ibrox seems to be a place that the players didn't seem to be too comfortable. Obviously, the heat from the crowd, etc. I'm actually strangely more confident when we go away from home to some grounds. I know, obviously, you know, Dundee United, we did falter there. But I can see a change in it, and I think he has brought that calming element. And what Marvin said about, you know, dropping big players and things, you know, one of the players that really gets on my goat is Telo Asgard, and I think that Russell Martin would have played him non-stop no matter what, because that was his boy. But I think Rule's identified that he just doesn't fit in with what we want. He slows the game down. He's trying to get more movement, more work effort, which you'll just never get out of that kid. He's got talent for sure, but, you know, he's just not built for what we need. So I think it's great to see him identifying these things and not scared to, you know, perhaps give someone like Conor Barron more game time over someone like Telo Asgard, who's got a more sexy name and a more, you know, attractive style of football. You know, he's bringing it back to basics, which is really what we needed.
Is that the boy that wears number 11?
Where's number Rangers, 11 for Rangers?
I was shouting at the radio when the question came up.
It's interesting that last night, because look, there was reportedly a thigh injury, which meant Nico Raskin was more of a doubt to start the game, so he took his place in the bench. But is Jim Tavernier again not starting games? Nico Raskin not starting games? This is what Russell Martin was doing this. You just wonder if Danny Rule also thinks it's the right way to go now. He's clearly getting other stuff right than Russell Martin wasn't. But I just thought it was a really interesting team last night.
Yeah, when you make those big calls, Gordon, the first thing you've got to make sure you do is win games. Then nobody can come back at you. You know, Russell Martin may have made one or two of the big calls, but unfortunately wasn't he winning games, and all of a sudden he's coming in for a lot of criticism. I like the way the manager's going about his business. They're not the finished article at all. It is still, for me, a lot of work to be done in January and the summer. But I think the Rangers fans have bought into this guy, and it'll be interesting to see the sort of the quality that he's got to bring in January to boost his squad.
Well, I think those players are more accepting of when they are put on a bench now. I think when Russell Martin was dropping players, there's always like a fallout that was, you know, coming along with it.
Because then it wasn't necessarily working anyway in terms of results.
Exactly. Well, I think there's a lot more harmony when Danny Rowe is making these changes and players are going on. They're trying to impact it in a positive way. There's no leaks of, you know, there being an argument. Ultimately, he's probably saying to the players, I'm going to pick the best 11 who either train the best or give us the best chance of winning this game, regardless. And if that includes my captain or Nico Raskin, who's an international, then so be it. But if it doesn't, I need to freshen it up and bring in some younger players. You know, Barron's been absolutely fantastic in the centre of the park, then that's what I'm going to do. So, listen, he's definitely going in the right direction. As I said, you know, when you are a team, you can grind out these results, which they are doing from time to time. And like I said, the more free-flowing stuff, I think, will come in January when he does get his own players in, but they still have that solid base to work from.
Yeah, I agree with Marv. He's obviously making big decisions that he believes is right on the night. It was always going to be a difficult game against Hibs last night. And once again, as he's quite rightly says, he prides himself in clean sheets. A good clean sheet last night, good 3 points, and puts him right up the league. And he'll certainly be looking forward to going to Tynecastle because they're in a much better place now.
You're a good man, Graham. Thank you for taking the time. You're in the hat for the tickets to Air Races as well. And we will be back with more calls next.
Talking baubles all year long. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are about to tackle the full-time teaser. If you're unfamiliar with the concept, that's when you send the questions in to us and sort of take some sort of enjoyment at how the pundits struggle to answer your question, basically, along those lines. So thank you to the Sensible Donkey who has sent this one in. On the email, by the way, fulltime@clyde1.com, the donkey says, can you name the last 9 managers to lose their first Scottish League Cup final? Can you name the last 9 managers to lose their first Scottish League Cup final?
Wilfred Nancy.
Yeah, pretty easy one to kick us off.
David Martindale.
Oh, you had to get that, didn't you?
Was that the one?
Ah, let's move on.
Is that the one? You know what I'm going to say? Where did you play that day again? Left wing back, was it, or right wing back?
No, left wing back. Left wing, maybe, no? Left wing back.
Is that the game that retired
deleted
you?
Deleted it, yeah. That was me done.
Quite right. Oh, actually, there's been a development. I'll just tease it. I'm going to keep it under wraps, but there's I'm led to believe there's some footage out there of Marvin Bartley playing back in the day, and it's got a bit of a Super Scoreboard link as well, and it's not going to reflect well on him. That's all I'm saying for now. Going to dig it out for next week.
Oh no! Tell me, the last 9 managers to lose their League Cup final.
Their first
League Cup final.
Am I on that?
No.
Well, I lost a League Cup final.
Not in the last 9.
Why?
Say why?
Tommy Wright.
I probably won his, I would imagine.
Alan Stubbs.
Notice you're responsible for quite a few of these defeats.
I think I'm finding both of those.
Against Ross County, Hibs, 2016, Marvin Bartley's fault.
Liam Fontaine assisted
you
them
always
and
blame
Ross County.
Liam Fontaine 100%. What's the story again?
They run through, go to cross the ball, and it's going, I think, like to one of our players, and he stretches for it and puts their guy clean through on goal. Bang. Ball in the back of the net. That's when I elbowed Brian Graham by accident.
Then signs for Ross County.
Then signed for Ross County. You knew what he was doing.
You didn't elbow Brian Graham by accident.
Yes, I did.
It was on purpose.
No, I only got booked. It was an accident.
It was
clearly.
Absolutely on purpose.
And then he
smashed
my team.
Him right in the face.
He's my teammate next season. When I did it, I was like, oh no.
Honestly,
the connection was horrendous.
In the VAR era,
I would have just walked. I wouldn't even have waited for them to do any. I'd have just went.
Is Derek McInnes one?
No.
Your guesses are terrible. Oh, yeah, they're good.
He's lost his last 2, but he won his first.
Right, who else?
One more guess, come on.
Who else did you nearly get a manager? Just go down lost your club.
Lost their first one.
Lost their first final.
There must be a Rangers manager.
We've been talking a lot about League Cup finals in the last few days.
Gerrard?
Yes, against Celtic, December 2019.
I told you.
Okay, Jim is a Rangers fan. Where are you at, Jim? How much of a title fight is on for you?
Hi, Gordon. How you doing? I'm based in Dublin, and the man there, Dazzler, knows me.
Oh.
Last year, getting in the train, he was going to a Christmas night out.
Shock. We were just, funnily enough, it's our Christmas night out on Thursday, Jim. We were literally just talking about it. So was that a year ago you saw him?
Hey, I met him in the Motherwell train station, and he was very friendly with my late father, and was actually talking to me and said, if you ever get a chance to do the phone and beat the pundit again. So I've tried a couple of times to play against him, so I thought tonight I'll give him a call. So that's a year ago I got him on the train.
So the difference is, Jim, one of you remembers it.
Yeah, I do remember Jim very well. The minute he come on, I recognise the voice.
At the end of the night, you wouldn't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember him at the end of the night, but at the beginning,
remember
I'm
they
okay.
tried to get him, the big man here, up to sing last year, and he was having absolutely none of it.
I know. You're
and usually they can peer pressure people into doing it, but then they took everybody just sort of looked at him and thought, ah,
you're
I'm
a
just,
bit boring
just
last year.
That might happen again this year.
Yeah, you're a bit boring.
You drove last year and you're not driving
I'm
this
not driving
year.
This
that's the
year.
Key.
Oh. I'm not singing though.
Well, I might go the opposite. No. I might drive.
Oh, you won't.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thursday night.
I'm on Thursday night.
We were both drinking coffee and having a steak bake or something to Greg, so he was getting well filled up before getting in.
Lining his stomach, as they say. Anyway, right, Jim, what are you thinking about your team at the moment?
I'm just thinking, following on to the last caller, that we're actually not a bad position. I was just looking at the kind of league tables there, and like I say, Hearts have drawn 5, we've drawn 8, Celtic have drawn 2. And 4 of those matches, we were in front, 2 goals, 1 goal, and losing late goals, so... In the context of things, how where we were weeks ago, we could have been level points with Hearts getting into the game on Sunday, but with everything that's going on at Celtic, if they lose tomorrow night or draw at Dundee United, we've got a great incentive to go on Sunday and beat Hearts, and then we've got the 3rd of January, you've got the match against Celtic. So the beginning of January, the league could totally be up in there, and we might have a great 2026 Scottish Premiership. Yeah. I'm just trying to put you think of that.
I wonder if that's the... I'm asking the question tonight because it's on the back of last night, but what a different picture it could be either way on when they meet. When Rangers go to Tynecastle, you know, they talk about it being a kind of 6-pointer sort of thing.
Yeah, it should be an absolute cracker at the weekend. If you'd have come on and said that maybe about a month, 6 weeks ago, I don't think MD would have been really that confident that Rangers could be up there, obviously challenging. But it's all, but once again, keep winning games. It'll be interesting to see how Celtic go at Tannadice tomorrow night. You can't imagine Celtic surely going and losing 4 in a row. That would be...
I think Celtic will win with 2 or 3 goals tomorrow night.
Do you think so, Jim? I think they have to win for a manager's sake, first and foremost. And obviously, all Rangers can do is keep winning games. And, you know, the Rangers fans are buying into what the manager's doing. January will be interesting. And not just for Rangers, but obviously Hearts and Celtic, because they'll look to strengthen as well. Yeah, I like the look of the league. And don't forget Motherwell, sitting there in 4th, only 2 points behind Rangers. So there's a lot of football and a lot of changes still to come along.
I think, you know, Sunday, if Rangers were to win, it really cement what Danny Rowe's doing. I think he's almost like a crossroads in terms of if they can win that game and close the gap on Hearts, regardless of what, you know, Celtic do tomorrow, then it'd be absolutely massive for him. But then the flip side of that is if they were to go and lose that game, people would be saying the Rangers fans, oh, it's the same old squad, same old Rangers. So
what would that, if Hearts won with 12 points,
12 points,
Rangers
yeah.
with a game in hand?
Yeah, which would, again, be absolutely massive. So, yeah, I think it's a huge game for Rangers on Sunday. I actually think, you know, the way that they're playing at this moment in time, it will actually be a really good game between both of them. I think Rangers are well suited to go and really take the game to Hearts and potentially beat Hearts at Tynecastle. I don't have any lost once this season, but I agree with Gordon. 3 or 4 weeks ago, would have never been saying that. But I just think how stubborn and, you know, how hard working they seem to be at this moment in time, they could go to Tynecastle and get the victory.
Is the main sort of praise towards the manager, Jim, that I don't hear any Rangers fans who like the squad or have faith in the squad, but they think he's obviously getting about as much out of it as he can?
Oh, I think it just shows you night and day between him and Russell Martin. And I agree sometimes Russell Martin dropping players if they're not performing and whatever, but, you know, you've got to stand by your convictions. Russell's going to get caught out with it a bit. And we got rid of him quite quick. I can see the Celtic manager maybe in the same boat. But Danny Rowe came in, not the immediate first choice, but he just seems to have brought a calmness and getting those players to do a bit better. Obviously, I'd love to see Big Cermiti get a couple of goals, because I've watched him the last couple of games, and he certainly leads the line and can they bring the ball in. So whether in the January window we could just get a goal poacher who can get his goals working alongside it. But I think Danny Roll, he'll have his own head in as well. He'll want who he gets. And again, Mikey Moore's another different player for when he was with Russell Martin. He's on the ball, buzzing about, looking for it. Conor Barron getting a chance. You know, it's just nice to see. I'd like to think Leo Cameron, I don't know, I think whether he's carrying a knock or something, because I think when he's played with Rangers, it looked very exciting and he's got a goal in him. But again, happy with the manager. As you said earlier on, a few weeks ago, I was honestly thinking, if we can get to January, get a couple of players and maybe finish second, that would have been a great goal and get a good run in the Scottish Cup. And whatever, Europe's gone, unfortunately. The manager, again, Danny needs two or three windows to get his players in. But I believe the foundations are there to move on. As I said, if we could just get something to pop the goals in at Footman Mission, we'll get the least goals scored against Celtic and Hearts. And I think in the January window, get somebody, even if in his 30s, I think we've all realised if they'd have signed Shanklin 2 years ago, we possibly could have won the league. And that was the one that definitely got away. But somebody proven, get some goals in, and that could make a difference. But I think hopefully we could have a right good one, because the way Rangers Celtic are playing as well, and as Gordon was saying, Motherwell, no team fears going to Ibrox now at Parkhead or playing Celtic and Rangers. They're vulnerable, the fans get on the back, and all the carry on off the pitch as well. So it looks like a very good, hopefully, last 6 months of the season.
Yeah, it's interesting, that one. You look at January, who's got to bring in, and Jim's talking about top half of the team as the centre forward. They've got three guys in there that cost a pretty penny. Would you need to, you know, Cermiti is desperate to get goals.
See any kind of uplift in him? Is he lead the line a bit better?
I think his build up plays a little bit better. But if you're a centre forward with a team like Rangers, then you're judged on your goals. There's no doubt of that. Majowski got three, obviously two down at Kilmarnock, one Europe as well. Danilo's had his in and out as well. So there's a few quid there in the top half of the team. So it'll be interesting, would he be able to get one or two out to make room for obviously bringing in a centre forward that Jim wants to add to the squad? But it's where you find these goal scorers. I think everybody's looking for them.
Everything's spotlight on Cermiti, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I noticed last night so many tweets about, oh, he's just put a shot out for a throw-in from inside the box. You wonder how that situation is just managed, because do you need to kind of keep playing him regardless? But Majowski would have probably played last night if it wasn't for his injury. So do you kind of keep rotating him? Do you just keep trying to get the best out of him? Do you sort of pick one of them and give that guy more of the chance to prove himself?
Yeah, I think Danny Rowe picks one of them and goes with that. I think it's a lot easier for him to do so, because he wasn't the manager who sanctioned the £8 million transfer, or he wasn't at the football club at that moment in time. So it's a lot easier for him to put him on the bench than it would have been for Russell Martin. So yeah, I think you go with one. I think you go with who you think's best for that specific game. But I do think Cermiti will start scoring goals though.
Thank you, Jim. Anyone else who's out on Thursday night in the Motherwell to Glasgow City Centre area, just avoid Gordon Deal if you can.
I just wish you all a happy Christmas.
Jim, brilliant. That's the first of the year, Jim, I would say. Yep. So well done to you. Same to you, Jim. Hope it goes well for you.
Just a bit tongue-in-cheek, because Gordon knows I'm a bit of a joker. If I happen to win the tickets to the air races, will you give them into Celtic? Because at the moment, they're not at the races at all.
I've been working on that since 6 o'clock.
See that trip from Motherwell to Glasgow? When then like that goes.
You and him just...
The gyms, just
the jokes.
Boom, boom, boom. You and Jim's wife, he said.
Yeah.
The jokes just flying back and forth. Anyway, right. Let's look at the teaser. Can you name the last 9 managers to lose their first Scottish League Cup final? Wilfried Nancy, David Martindale, Marvin's fault. Alan Stubbs, also Marvin's fault. Stephen Gerrard.
I'll go with either Barry Robson or Jim Goodwin. Did any of them get there?
Pick one.
Hey, how many guesses do you want?
I'm wanting two. I'll go... No, Goodwin never got to a cup. Barry Robson.
Yes, against Rangers. He did win it as a player with Celtic and Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm.
Derek McInnes.
have to see Derek McInnes 5 minutes
That's
ago.
Poor from you.
Stephen Naismith.
Poor from you. Nope.
I didn't hear you say that. Let's block out what you say, to be honest.
So there's half of the people out there.
Any others quickly? One more guess.
One more
guess. Lee Johnson.
No. Okay, we'll get the rest when we return. Let me tell you about this before we move.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Proud to support the local community.
Thank you so much for the generosity over the weekend. We had great fun in here in the Cash for Kids sports auction. But the bad news is the fight for this never really stops. I mean, we already at Cash for Kids had to pause applications for support because the demand was just overwhelming. We're talking thousands, tens of thousands children in the local area that need our help this Christmas. So if you can get involved, please donate at clyde1.com/mission. But if you're already just fundraising in some other way, let us know. We'd love to talk about it and give you a mention on the show. The beauty of Cash for Kids, and listen, there's so many good charities out there, we'd never deny that, but the beauty of it is every single penny raised goes straight back to the children that need it. That's like a guarantee. I wouldn't be allowed to say that if it wasn't true. Every single penny back out to the children on our doorsteps that really need your help. So clyde1.com/mission. And as always, a big thanks to J&D Pierce.
Hugh. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Plenty of time to squeeze some calls in though, if you so fancy. And remember, every caller who comes on goes into the hat for the tickets to Ayr Races as well. On the teaser, can you name the last 9 managers to lose their first Scottish League Cup final? Wilfried Nancy, Barry Robson, David Martindale, Marvin's fault, Alan Stubbs, Marvin's fault, Stephen Gerrard, unrelated. And that's you so far.
Barry Robson.
Did you get Barry Robson?
Yeah, yeah, I got him.
I got that.
Huh? No, you didn't. Shut up. I'll tell you, the man that won it yesterday lost his first one, didn't he? Stephen Robinson.
Oh, it wasn't yesterday he won it, but famous.
Sunday.
Well done. Yep, he lost with Motherwell against Celtic in 2017.
So I text him that.
Billy Dodge?
I wouldn't dream of taking anything away from St Mirren. They were wonderful. But there's that wee bit. See when Motherwell played Celtic in the final. You want a wee chance against a Celtic team that's having a bit of a confidence crisis. No Moussa Dembele and Scott Sinclair.
Billy Dodge?
No.
Ross Kennedy, did not?
No. That's a bad shout.
Is it?
Yeah.
Billy Dodge no get to a final.
Oh, and you're thinking Inverness in the Scottish Cup final.
Yeah.
No.
Scottish Cup, sorry.
Okay, 3 to get. All well known. But okay, we'll get back to it. James is in Maryhill.
John Hughes.
No.
Yeah?
What about your driving instructor?
Oh, David.
What?
Oh, David McCallum. That was the semi-final.
Semi-final against
Hibs.
Hibs. Your driving instructor.
There's an answer to the teaser that I never thought I would expect. I'm some driver, honestly. Apart from that time I drove you back from Aberdeen at the wrong contact lenses in. Remember that?
Oh, was
the wrong one.
Yeah, my wife, can you see?
Oh, it was horrific.
Couldn't see, honestly.
Couldn't you see a thing?
Come on, stop my eyes. What's going on here? It's not like it's a wee short journey round the road.
At least you made it back.
Honestly, should have seen it. Tell you what, seeing the only other road related drama, revealing myself here has not been as tidy as I should be, but I've had a busy couple of days. This morning I was cleaning some stuff up and I putting some stuff in the washing, or leaving it in the corner to then go into the washing, and found the trousers that I was wearing to the cup final on Sunday. I don't think I ever shared this on air. If you're the bus driver who was going along Aitken Head Road at around 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon and absolutely drenched me through the puddle, I want a word. Phone in. It's a shameful act on your behalf. It's hilarious when it happens to somebody else. See when it happens to you.
Oh, you were soaking.
Now, I always park up the hill towards like kind of King's Park area. I don't like the car parks. I always put 10 minutes and then I just walk to and from Hampden. Fine. I always do it, and we're there nice and early. And you remember the weather on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I had the big golf umbrella up, and I actually had it like balancing on my head. I was bringing it as close to my head as I could, the wind, just to try and block everything out. You're going to your work, you want to try and at least be a bit presentable. I had grey trousers on. and I no peripheral vision at all. I've just got this down. I'm not even paying any attention to what's around me. And from behind, I just felt it. The bus absolutely soaked me all down my back, the back of my trousers, in my shoes, my socks. This was at 2 o'clock. We were on air until 7. And I had to sit there with soaking wet trousers. So, Mr. Bus Driver, shame on you.
Well
call
done
out
you.
Publicly.
Yeah, yeah. Get a sign ball.
I know. Like I say, it's
please
funny when,
phone in.
It's funny when it happens to somebody else.
I'd love to have been on the bus.
Anyway, James, I think you'll be the final caller of tonight. As a Celtic fan, there's been so much said about your manager tonight. Where do you sit?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of sitting on both sides just now. Well, obviously you can't sit both in the middle then.
On the fence.
Well, the thing is I've seen teams don't want to name teams' names because Gordon's there. Cough, cough. But no, I've seen like teams go through like stages of like chopping and changing their managers, not giving them transfer windows. Fair enough. I've agreed to the way I said it was give Martin O'Neill to the end of the year, give Wolfie Nancy the job, but half of January, and let him spectate the sport in Scotland, because at the end of the day, it's a totally different league. It's you're seeing players coming up from England, they all call it a farmers league down there, and they still can't get into it. Even managers as well like Tony Mowbray with West Brom, come up to Celtic after he got relegated, but he partly played the best, the team played the best, like football, but he came up here, tried to do it, couldn't do it. And then after gone Strachan as well, then I think if he maybe had a bit of time to like study the way it's like, he might have had a better chance to see where we need improving and like clear the goal, like, get rid of a dead weight. But it's just it's something like that. I think that the guy just needs time, but I think the board, I know there's quite a lot of ongoing conversations that all the fans going off their heads with them.
Well, that's the thing. Will he get it? Can he get it? It all sounds good. And I've said in the last couple of nights, I think every manager just deserves more than 3 games. But I don't know. Well, can he pull it back from here, James? Listen to the noise.
Well, it's a noise you hear, of course. But at the end of the day, if you don't give him more than 3 games, then you're never going to hear it. Does he deserve it just now? Of course it is, because it's only 3 games. Yes, fair enough. Hearts are doing well. They deserve it. St. Mirren deserved to win that final, regardless. He went back to the way it looked when I seen the team. It looked like a 4-3-3. So he took away his 3-4-3 formation like what he likes, apparently.
Nah, he still played three at the back. He did say, to be fair, at times, and you know we saw them warming up, and there might be times off the ball, but it really was during the game. Gordon, just quickly, because we're nearly out, so yeah. James is saying he's one of the rare ones we've had to say you just have to give him time. Do you think they'll win tomorrow?
For his sake, yes, I think they will.
Okay.
I think they will. I think Dundee United are struggling a little bit. They've got problems, obviously, with the goalkeeping situation, although they did get a clean sheet against Motherwell. And I think it's a must win for Celtic. I just can't see them going 4 games in a trot without winning. So that's why I'm going for Celtic.
Yep, I'm in agreement. Okay. I think Celtic win tomorrow.
Right, thank you very much. That was the final call of the evening. As you can hear, we're nearly out of time. The last 9 managers to lose their first Scottish League Cup final: Wilfried Nancy, Barry Robson, David Martindale, Stephen Gerrard, Stephen Robinson, Alan Stubbs. 3 to get quickly.
Was Van Bronckhorst one?
Same club,
Rangers. Beale?
Yep. Marvin, one that you should definitely get.
You were part of it.
No, he actually wasn't, but
Hibs.
David Gray
against Celtic. Yeah. Caretaker, wasn't he after
that game?
Oh, well done. Thanks for remembering it. Back to 2015 for the furthest back one. Celtic were the victors.
Against
Ronnie Dyla would have been the Celtic manager, the winning manager, the losing manager.
Who's the team?
Dundee United. Was it just after they had taken
Mickey Mellon?
Armstrong and Mackay Stephen as well? No.
Tam Court.
Jackie McNamara.
Tam Court.
Right, yeah. Thank you very much to Marvin and Gordon. Yeah. Huge night for Celtic tomorrow. We're back at 6.